You are listening to the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast with Bertie Corbett.
Well, welcome everyone. Welcome to Inside ECAC Hockey for this week. Bernie Corbett, pleased to be joined on the women's side by Danielle Sardakny. Danielle enjoying an outstanding first semester so far, the native of Edmonton, Alberta, for Colgate. And no stranger to international play, and we'll also talk about her recent foray in the rivalry series. Danielle, welcome, and best of the holiday season to you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, Danielle, so far the ECAC, another really difficult conference to navigate. Your thoughts on your club start, 14-2-1 overall, 6-2-1, exemplary record outside the conference, but most importantly, 8-0 in ECAC play, particularly stellar because of the competitiveness of the ECAC year in and year out, which you've certainly got experience with.
Yeah, it's definitely been a great start for the team. Obviously, only played 8 games here, but we're really looking forward to the second half and the competition the ECAC brings every game.
And do you feel that the non-conference schedule that's been put together has prepared you well for what you will face here during the stretch run in terms of what you've already gone through during the first semester?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, playing other conferences is really beneficial for our team, seeing what the league has to offer. Obviously, playing some top WCHA opponents like Ohio State and Minnesota Duluth, I think, was very beneficial for our group moving forward here. So,
and moving forward for you, it's been an opportunity, just looking back recently, to participate in the rivalry series. I'll always contend that being a pretty avid sports fan my entire life, that a rivalry that some people might not be familiar with, that nonetheless is one of the best rivalries any sport across the board, is the U.S.-Canada women's hockey rivalry. You've been part of that recently in the rivalry series. Just to give us your perspective on what it's meant to you to be part of the Canadian team, wear that Maple Leaf sweater, and to represent your country.
Yeah, obviously it's something you kind of always dream of growing up. I remember I had a signed jersey of the Canadian women's national team in my room. So just to get to represent my country versus the U.S. in a huge rivalry is always so exciting and a huge honor for me as well.
You played in the World Championships in 2023 and garnered a silver medal. You played in the U18 and got a gold medal. One of the things that I saw that really shocked me was you being part of the team there with the World Juniors, the first one from your province of Alberta, go back to Shirley Cameron, 1990, in 30 plus years. I was amazed to see that. Is the women's hockey just not quite as prominent in terms of some impact players that have come from your province as opposed to elsewhere in Canada?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Alberta is kind of a smaller province compared to some out east. So there's been a few players that have been able to go through the program, but I'm fortunate to be one of those right now and hopefully providing that role model aspect for players in Alberta. And hopefully I'll continue to do that here in the near future.
Absolutely. Hopefully more from closer to home. And as far as your development, you played just to once again, give us some insight about the program. I mean, it's certainly a bold name when you see it printed. You played for 2 years for Pursuit of Excellence. Are they true to their motto in your pursuit of excellence?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Obviously, I made the move out there in grade 11 and 12, and I was fortunate to have some pretty outstanding coaches there and teammates, both Chris Hogg and Jess Campbell, who was also part of the women's national program. Obviously, had a huge impact on my career and my development, but also had some great teammates, ones who have succeeded both in U sports and NCAA. So just being able to compete against one another really every day was super beneficial for my development there. So,
And great success there for you, two-time CSSHL champion. So you did have great success individually and not surprisingly, the success as a team. Speaking of the team at Colgate, finished up with a I can't believe how dominant I went inside the numbers in the game at Syracuse. I don't know. There's not too many games that I've seen where teams Was it a typo? What, 65-11? You outshot Syracuse in that game. My goodness.
Yeah. It was definitely a good way to end off the break. Obviously, you don't want to take any opponent easier than any other. So, yeah, it was definitely a good game for our group and good way to end our first half of the season.
Wow. Just flat out dominant in the game. And always like to give players an opportunity to give a little love to their line mates and give us some insight as to why you're successful. You play, I believe, Emma Pay and is it Kristen O'Donohoe, the two of your line mates. Just let us know what they bring, what you bring, and how you've combined from your position with them to be as successful as you have as a unit.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, we're kind of three quite different players, but it works well together. O'Donohoe, I'd say, is a skilled forward who can make plays and also put the pucks in the net. And Pice, on the other hand, too, skilled, fast, very hardworking. She's obviously a freshman playing with 2 fifth-years, so I think she's done a really good job playing with us. I think we're also all really close off the ice, so that bond kind of helps us on the ice. Mm-hmm. We like to keep it pretty light in the games and just have fun with it. So it's been great getting to play with those two so far this year. So.
And a great example, when I look at your numbers over the course of your career, you talk about being a fifth year and the improvement. And I know that college coaches, obviously you recruit, you hope you have players over a four of, because of the COVID situation. In this case, that the luxury of being able to have fifth year players in the program, but just your improvement from year to year, the numbers, the improvement from all rookie and rookie of the year to player of the year in the following year. The accolades that you received all the way through last year. And I noticed your production this year is akin to last year, 1.79 points per game. You had 70 and 39. And so far with the 30 points, a great consistency there. You're just below that at 1.77. And what about what you've learned over the course of your career in terms of getting ready for the rigors of the college hockey season? I'm always curious about that, Danielle, in terms of how maybe trial and error you've learned, what's successful for me in the off season to get ready for that season and make sure I'm at my maximum peak ability?
Yeah, definitely. I think for me personally, after the season and after coming off a world championship there, I wanted to make sure I took some time just to kind of reset my mind, my body, kind of all that sort of things. You don't want to overdo it. You want to make sure you have time, obviously, to spend with friends and family. So I did that this year, which was really good. And I think just excited to get back. Like once you take that break, I think you feel recharged and kind of ready to get back. And obviously my dad's a skating and skills coach, so I'm pretty fortunate with that. I get to skate or do skills whenever I want, so kind of keep that consistent throughout the summer. I also help him out with his job, helping teach kids hockey and that sort of thing, so I think that kind of is really beneficial translating into the season. And then typically I would attend a Hockey Canada camp right before the season. Mm-hmm. So that kind of fell in September this year, which was great. Obviously playing against the best players in Canada. And I think that really like helped me transitioning to our first games against Ohio State. So obviously I'm pretty fortunate to have the situation I do at home with my dad, but yeah, that's kind of what I do in the off season.
And mention a true hockey family in every sense of the word. Everybody participating with your two sisters, your brother, and your dad, Steve, who you alluded to, I believe spent 12 years as the skating instructor and power skating and related with the Edmonton Oilers. So he was with an NHL team for 12 years. And now I believe you just mentioned he's working independently. He has kind of his own business and running clinics and skills, et cetera. Is that what he's been doing now for the last several years?
Yeah, that's what he does exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you can probably get in at a pretty fair price then. They probably give you a good discount.
Yeah, definitely. I like to help him out too, though, so kind of even there.
Absolutely. You got to sink for your supper, Danielle. That's part of it, right? It put you to work,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no,
no,
exactly.
No question. That's got to be part of it. And you mentioned about the international experience and recently the rivalry series. And the rivalry series is broken up, and I think it's great what they've done in terms of promoting women's hockey. It's almost a barnstorming across North America for the U.S. and Canada, test themselves. They can bring it to anywhere USA. You could play at midnight at some secluded rink, God knows where, and the intensity, I'm sure, would be the same. But in this particular situation, the U.S. had the upper hand in the first two games in November, and you came for games three and four. Game three was, what, an overtime loss. But the excitement, I think, even more so for what was accomplished in game four, and you came back and had a prominent role to get the win in game four to get Canada back on track.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, whenever you're down in the series, you want to kind of climb back in any sorts. Obviously, we fell short there in game three in overtime, but we knew the series was kind of on the line in game four there. So I think we went down 2-0 there in the third. But I think just like the belief and hope our group has there was pretty unbelievable to be able to climb back out of that and get the win there, which I thought was huge. Obviously, playing in front of a home crowd is pretty unbelievable. You're kind of going off their energy. So definitely great to get the win there and kind of keep this series going.
Right, the win was it Sarnia? Was the overtime loss, and then you came back to win. I think it was in Kitchener for the win, correct?
Other way around. So we lost in Kitchener, and then we got the win in Sarnia. So
okay, in Sarnia. It's because I can't read my own writing, but that's my problem, not yours. Don't worry about it. And as far as your game, and noting some of the once again in my research with coaches just describing your game, talking about your ability, size, being able to protect the puck from the opponent, get yourself in a good position, and be able to get to that quality area, get to the middle of the ice. All important attributes of your game. Are there players that you've looked to either on the women's side or on the men's side at the NHL level that have been maybe a little bit more of an influence or an impact on you and how you like to characterize your game?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I watched a lot of NHL hockey growing up, but now more recent times, just watching the women's national team, I think just watching like players like Breanne Jenner, Poulin, Spooner, kind of all those sorts of players, I think I kind of try and take bits and pieces out of their game to resemble mine. Obviously, I like to play my own game and kind of play to my strengths, but it's pretty unbelievable watching those players and now getting to play alongside them this past year. So that's been really special for me as a player.
Poulin's pretty special, isn't she? My goodness.
Oh yeah. Unbelievable. Even for her age, she literally plays like she has not aged at all. Unbelievable person and leader and just someone I've looked up to for many years. So still kind of surreal to see her in the same dressing room as me. So.
No, indeed. It's amazing. Cause I broadcast the game for Boston University. So I remember having her back at BU and being able to watch the women's team. And we actually had her and Jack Eichel the same season. So we had a couple of pretty good players on the men's and women's side the same year back in 2015. But you mentioned the way that she aged and developed, because she's been around for a while now.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually watched the rivalry between Canada, US and the documentary. So it was pretty cool to see her as an 18-year-old scoring 2 goals, I think, in the Vancouver gold medal game at age 18 and just seeing how she's continued to develop and become an unbelievable player.
Pretty impressive there. And notice that also one of the things that I noted, you've played now, mostly you've been more of a classic as far as playing the center position, correct? And then moved, I noted back for the rivalry series, you moved out on the wall and got to play some in the wing in the past. And when people talked about how well you played along the wall, boy, that made an impression when you go from center to wing, position you weren't familiar with, for you to adapt so quickly. That says that real testament to your skill level and your ability to adapt. I think that's a great testament to who you are as a player.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I grew up playing boys hockey, so I was kind of constantly being moved around between positions. So, yeah, just something I've kind of worked on or the past few years. So it's been great to be able to experience both wing and center as a player on that team.
And before you get back into, once again, that ECAC schedule, which is quite intense and challenging with so many teams that are ranked highly nationally coming from the conference. You'll have a tournament, I believe, in Pittsburgh coming up after Christmas. You'll reconvene with the team. Your thoughts about that, the battle at the Berg. You'll be taking on Maine in the first round, and you'll also have, I believe, what the Bemidji and Robert Morris will be out there. So I'm sure you're looking forward to that. And you've spent Christmas with the family, but then getting back with your teammates, not too far away here.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be nice to kind of get back into things. Obviously, coming off the rivalry series, it'll be great to be back with the group and obviously playing some different teams there in Pittsburgh. So I'm really excited for it. And the second half of the season we have coming up here.
Always like to ask the question about any superstitions, rituals, things that you get maybe a little nervous about. My God, I didn't do that before I got on the ice. I'm in trouble. That type of thing. Do you have anything, Danielle? A lot of hockey players are very superstitious about things. What category do you fall into?
Yeah, I'm not too bad with that. I mean, sometimes with dress clothes, if we lose or something, then I might switch it up, but not too superstitious, kind of keep things light before the game, playing spike ball, just having fun with everyone. So nothing too major for me there.
Okay, well, that's probably good, because if anything goes wrong, you don't want to go into a panic, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
You gotta be careful. And also, recent development, and believe it's going to be starting, what, right after the first of the year? I'm sure you've kept your eye, particularly at fifth year and making this final run with Colgate, about the new women's league, the new configuration of the women's league. And you must be looking at that with great interest. Like, my own opinion is that this was really the time had come, and great to see the positioning right now for the women's league. I know there's been a couple of different rival women's leagues, but to get everybody on the same page and under the same umbrella, it looks like it could be a really very successful venture.
Yeah, obviously, I've been looking at that quite a bit, and obviously being around all those girls at the rivalry series, it's super cool to hear their excitement they have for the league. Obviously, it looks like it's pretty promising with the ticket sales and the CBA and kind of that, all sorts of stuff. So I'm really excited for them, especially the ones who have been sticking around for so long, to kind of have a structure in place in a league and a team they can play for. It's all really exciting. And being a fifth year in college, like you mentioned, obviously I have my eyes set on that. But yeah, so I'll definitely keep an eye out for that. But kind of want to make sure my focus is still with Colgate. But obviously, mm-hmm. Such an exciting time for women's hockey. So I'm super happy for all those girls that are a part of that league. And yeah. And it's an exciting time for women's hockey. So,
no doubt. And my final question, you know, growing up around the Edmonton Oilers, and I noted there was an article about you when they talked about as a young kid, you got to meet, you know, Jordan Eberle, Taylor Hall. But I mean, you got to admit, it was probably more exciting to meet Hillary Duff. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that was pretty cool too. I mean, I've met some pretty cool people, and that was definitely one of the most memorable ones. So. Yeah, that was an exciting time for sure.
Yeah, I would probably get more excited about meeting Hillary Duff too, but that's just me. What can I tell you? I'm with you on that one, kid. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Danielle, thanks very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And the best of the second semester and beyond, and with Colgate, hopefully it's going to be a long run second semester and to the ECAC and NCAA tournament. So all the best to you. And once again, happy holidays to you and your family.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Our guest here on Inside ECAC Hockey, Danielle Sadakny, native of Edmonton, Alberta, and fifth-year standout for Colgate, joining us here this week. Well, welcome, everyone. Welcome to Inside ECAC Hockey for this week. Bernie Corbett, pleased to be joined on the women's side by Danielle Sadakny. Danielle enjoying an outstanding first semester so far, the native of Edmonton, Alberta, for Colgate, and no stranger to international play. And we'll also talk about her recent foray in the rivalry series. Danielle, welcome, and best of the holiday season to you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, Danielle, so far the ECAC, another really difficult conference to navigate. Your thoughts on your club start, 14-2-1 overall, 6-2-1, exemplary record outside the conference, but most importantly, 8-0 in ECAC play, particularly stellar because of the competitiveness of the ECAC year in and year out, which you've certainly got experience with.
Yeah, it's definitely been a great start for the team. Obviously, only played 8 games here, but we're really looking forward to the second half and the competition the ECAC brings every game.
And do you feel that the non-conference schedule that's been put together has prepared you well for what you will face here during the stretch run in terms of what you've already gone through during the first semester?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, playing other conferences is really beneficial for our team, seeing what the league has to offer. Obviously, playing some top WCHA opponents like Ohio State and Minnesota Duluth, I think, was very beneficial for our group moving forward here. So,
and moving forward for you, it's been an opportunity, just looking back recently, to participate in the rivalry series. I'll always contend that being a pretty avid sports fan my entire life, that a rivalry that some people might not be familiar with, that nonetheless is one of the best rivalries any sport across the board, is the U.S.-Canada women's hockey rivalry. You've been part of that recently in the rivalry series. Just to give us your perspective on what it's meant to you to be part of the Canadian team, wear that Maple Leaf sweater, and to represent your country.
Yeah, obviously it's something you kind of always dream of growing up. I remember I had a signed jersey of the Canadian women's national team in my room. So just to get to represent my country versus the U.S. in a huge rivalry is always so exciting and a huge honor for me as well.
You played in the World Championships in 2023 and garnered a silver medal. You played in the U18 and got a gold medal. One of the things that I saw that really shocked me was you being part of the team there with the World Juniors, the first one from your province of Alberta, go back to Shirley Cameron, 1990, in 30 plus years. I was amazed to see that. Is the women's hockey just not quite as prominent in terms of some impact players that have come from your province as opposed to elsewhere in Canada?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Alberta is kind of a smaller province compared to some out east. So there's been a few players that have been able to go through the program, but I'm fortunate to be one of those right now and hopefully providing that role model aspect for players in Alberta. And hopefully I'll continue to do that here in the near future.
Absolutely. Hopefully more from closer to home. And as far as your development, you played just to once again, give us some insight about the program. I mean, it's certainly a bold name when you see it printed. You played for 2 years for Pursuit of Excellence. Are they true to their motto in your pursuit of excellence?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Obviously, I made the move out there in grade 11 and 12, and I was fortunate to have some pretty outstanding coaches there and teammates, both Chris Hogg and Jess Campbell, who was also part of the women's national program. Obviously, had a huge impact on my career and my development, but also had some great teammates, ones who have succeeded both in youth sports and NCAA. So just being able to compete against one another really every day was super beneficial for my development there. So,
And great success there for you, two-time CSSHL champion. So you did have great success individually and not surprisingly, the success as a team. Speaking of the team at Colgate, finished up with I can't believe how dominant. I went inside the numbers in the game at Syracuse. I don't know. There's not too many games that I've seen where teams was it a typo? What, 65-11? You outshot Syracuse in that game. My goodness.
Yeah. It was definitely a good way to end off the break. Obviously, you don't want to take any opponent easier than any other. So, it was definitely a good game for our group and good way to end our first half of the season.
Wow, just flat out dominant in the game. And always like to give players an opportunity to give a little love to their line mates and give us some insight as to why you're successful. You play, I believe, Emma Pay and is it Kristen O'Donohoe, the two of your line mates. Just let us know what they bring, what you bring, and how you've combined from your position with them to be as successful as you have as a unit.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, we're kind of three quite different players, but it works well together. O'Donohoe, I'd say, is a skilled forward who can make plays and also put the pucks in the net. And Pice, on the other hand, too, skilled, fast, very hardworking. She's obviously a freshman playing with 2 fifth-years, so I think she's done a really good job playing with us. I think we're also all really close off the ice, so that bond kind of helps us on the ice. Mm-hmm. We like to keep it pretty light in the games and just have fun with it. So it's been great getting to play with those two so far this year. So,
and a great example, when I look at your numbers over the course of your career, you talk about being a fifth year and the improvement. And I know that college coaches, obviously you recruit, you hope you have players over a four of, because of the COVID situation. In this case, that the luxury of being able to have fifth year players in the program, but just your improvement from year to year, the numbers, the improvement from all rookie and rookie of the year to player of the year in the following year, the accolades that you received all the way through last year. And I noticed your production this year is akin to last year, 1.79 points per game. You had 70 and 39. And so far with the 30 points, a great consistency there. You're just below that at 1.77. And what about what you've learned over the course of your career in terms of getting ready for the rigors of the college hockey season? I'm always curious about that, Danielle, in terms of how maybe trial and error you've learned. What's successful for me in the off season to get ready for that season and make sure I'm at my maximum peak ability?
Yeah, definitely. I think for me personally, after the season and after coming off a world championship there, I wanted to make sure I took some time just to kind of reset my mind, my body, kind of all that sort of things. You don't want to overdo it. You want to make sure you have time, obviously, to spend with friends and family. So I did that this year, which was really good. And I think just excited to get back. Like once you take that break, I think you feel recharged and kind of ready to get back. And obviously my dad's a skating and skills coach, so I'm pretty fortunate with that. I get to skate or do skills whenever I want, so kind of keep that consistent throughout the summer. I also help him out with his job, helping teach kids hockey and that sort of thing, so I think that kind of is really beneficial translating into the season. And then typically I would attend a Hockey Canada camp right before the season, so that kind of fell in September this year, which was great. Obviously playing against the best players in Canada, and I think that really like helped me transitioning to our first games against Ohio State. So obviously I'm pretty fortunate to have the situation I do at home with my dad, but yeah, that's kind of what I do in the off season.
And mention a true hockey family in every sense of the word. Everybody participating with your two sisters, your brother, and your dad, Steve, who you alluded to, I believe spent 12 years as the skating instructor and power skating and related with the Edmonton Oilers. So he was with an NHL team for 12 years. And now I believe you just mentioned he's working independently. He has kind of his own business and running clinics and skills, et cetera. Is that what he's been doing now for the last several years?
Yeah, that's what he does exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you could probably get in at a pretty fair price then. They probably give you a good discount.
Yeah, definitely. I like to help him out too, though, so kind of even there.
Absolutely. You got to sink for your supper, Danielle. That's part of it, right? You put you to work,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
No question. That's got to be part of it. And you mentioned about the international experience and recently the rivalry series. And the rivalry series is broken up, and I think it's great what they've done in terms of promoting women's hockey. It's almost a barnstorming across North America for the U.S. and Canada to test themselves. They can bring it to anywhere USA. You could play at midnight at some secluded rink, God knows where, and the intensity, I'm sure, would be the same. But in this particular situation, the U.S. had the upper hand in the first two games in November, and you came for games 3 and 4. Game 3 was, an overtime loss? But the excitement, I think, even more so for what was accomplished in game 4. And you came back and had a prominent role to get the win in game 4 to get Canada back on track.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, whenever you're down in the series, you want to kind of climb back in any sorts. Obviously, we fell short there in game 3 in overtime, but we knew the series was kind of on the line in game 4 there. So I think we went down 2-0 there in the third, but I think just like the belief and hope our group has there was pretty unbelievable to be able to climb back out of that and get the win there, which I thought was huge. Obviously, playing in front of a home crowd is pretty unbelievable. You're kind of going off their energy. So definitely great to get the win there and kind of keep this series going.
Right, the win was it Sarnia? Was the overtime loss, and then you came back to win, I think it was in Kitchener for the win, correct?
Other way around. So we lost in Kitchener, and then we got the win in Sarnia. So,
okay, in Sarnia. It's because I can't read my own writing, but that's my problem, not yours. Don't worry about it. And as far as your game, and noting some of the, once again, in my research with coaches just describing your game, talking about your ability, size, being able to protect the puck, from the opponent, get yourself in a good position, and be able to get to that quality area, get to the middle of the ice. All important attributes of your game. Are there players that you've looked to either on the women's side or on the men's side at the NHL level that have been maybe a little bit more of an influence or an impact on you and how you like to characterize your game?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I watched a lot of NHL hockey growing up, but now more recent times, just watching the women's national team, I think just watching like players like Breanne Jenner, Poulin, Spooner, kind of all those sorts of players, I think I kind of try and take bits and pieces out of their game to resemble mine. Obviously, I like to play my own game and kind of play to my strengths, but it's pretty unbelievable watching those players and now getting to play alongside them this past year. So that's been really special for me as a player.
Poulin's pretty special, isn't she? My goodness.
Oh yeah, unbelievable. Even for her age, she literally plays like she has not aged at all. Unbelievable person and leader, and just someone I've looked up to for many years. So still kind of surreal to see her in the same dressing room as me. So
no, indeed, it's amazing because I broadcast the game for Boston University. So I remember having her back at BU and being able to watch the women's team. And we actually had her and Jack Eichel the same season. So we had a couple of pretty good players on the men's and women's side the same year back in 2015. But you mentioned the way that she aged and developed, because she's been around for a while now.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually watched the rivalry between Canada, US and the documentary. So it was pretty cool to see her as an 18-year-old scoring two goals, I think, in the Vancouver gold medal game at age 18, and just seeing how she's continued to develop and become an unbelievable player.
Pretty impressive there. And notice that also one of the things that I noted, you've played now, mostly you've been more of a classic as far as playing the center position, correct? And then moved, I noted back for the rivalry series, you moved out on the wall and got to play some in the wing in the past. And when people talked about how well you played along the wall, boy, that made an impression when you go from center to wing, position you weren't familiar with, for you to adapt so quickly. That says that real testament to your skill level and your ability to adapt. I think that's a great testament to who you are as a player.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I grew up playing boys hockey, so I was kind of constantly being moved around between positions. So, yeah, just something I've kind of worked on or the past few years. So it's been great to be able to experience both wing and center as a player on that team.
And before you get back into, once again, that ECAC schedule, which is quite intense and challenging with so many teams that are ranked highly nationally coming from the conference. You'll have a tournament, I believe, in Pittsburgh coming up after Christmas. You'll reconvene with the team. Your thoughts about that, the battle at the Berg. You'll be taking on Maine in the first round, and you'll also have, I believe, what the Bemidji and Robert Morris will be out there. So I'm sure you're looking forward to that. And you're spending Christmas with the family, but then getting back with your teammates not too far away here.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be nice to kind of get back into things. Obviously, coming off the rivalry series, it'll be great to be back with the group and obviously playing some different teams there in Pittsburgh. So I'm really excited for it and the second half of the season we have coming up here.
Always like to ask the question about any superstitions, rituals, things that you get maybe a little nervous about, my God, I didn't do that before I got on the ice. I'm in trouble, that type of thing. Do you have anything, Danielle? A lot of hockey players are very superstitious about things. What category do you fall into?
I'm not too bad with that. I mean, sometimes with dress clothes, if we lose or something, then I might switch it up, but not too superstitious, kind of keep things light before the game, playing spike ball, just having fun with everyone. So nothing too major from me there.
Okay, well, that's probably good, because if anything goes wrong, you don't want to go into a panic, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
You gotta be careful. And recent development, and believe it's going to be starting, what, right after the first of the year? I'm sure you've kept your eye, particularly its fifth year and making this final run with Colgate, about the new women's league, the new configuration of the women's league. And you must be looking at that with great interest. Like, my own opinion is that this was really the time had come, and great to see the positioning right now for the women's league. I know there's been a couple of different rival women's leagues, but to get everybody on the same page and under the same umbrella, it looks like it could be a really very successful venture.
Yeah, obviously, I've been looking at that quite a bit, and obviously being around all those girls at the rivalry series, it's super cool to hear their excitement they have for the league. Obviously, it looks like it's pretty promising with the ticket sales and the CBA and kind of that, all sorts of stuff. So I'm really excited for them, especially the ones who have been sticking around for so long, to kind of have a structure in place in a league and a team they can play for. It's all really exciting. And being a fifth year in college, like you mentioned, obviously I had my eyes set on that, but yeah, so I'll definitely keep an eye out for that, but kind of want to make sure my focus is still with Colgate. But obviously mm-hmm. such an exciting time for women's hockey. So I'm super happy for all those girls that are a part of that league. And yeah, and it's an exciting time for women's hockey. So
no doubt. And my final question, you know, growing up around the Edmonton Oilers, and I noted there was an article about you when they talked about, as a young kid, you got to meet, you know, Jordan Eberle, Taylor Hall, but I mean, you got to admit, it was probably more exciting to meet Hillary Duff. I mean, come on.
Yeah. That was pretty cool too. I mean, I've met some pretty cool people, and that was definitely one of the most memorable ones. So yeah, that was an exciting time for sure.
Yeah, I would probably get more excited about meeting Hillary Duff too, but that's just me. What can I tell you? I'm with you on that one, kid. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. And the best of the second semester and beyond, and with Colgate, hopefully it's going to be a long run second semester and to the ECAC and NCAA tournament. So all the best to you. And once again, happy holidays to you and your family.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Our guest here on Inside ECAC Hockey, Danielle Sadakny, native of Edmonton, Alberta, and fifth year standout for Colgate, joining us here this week.
Thank you for listening to the Inside ECAC Hockey Podcast with Bertie Corbett. Follow ECAC Hockey on social media at ECAC Hockey across all platforms.